Okay, we can do a little parsha. The Kelim of the Mishkan, which makes up pretty much the Mishkan itself, and the Kelim of the Mishkan makes up a good portion of the whole second half of Sefer Shemos, starting with this week's parsha. When you look at each of the Kelim, they each symbolize some critical element of life. Meaning, the Mishkan is not just a building, it's not just a place, it's not just, a place that happens to have things that function, like your house has a couch so that you'll have a place to sit, and a table so that you'll have a place to eat. No, these are symbolic of a world, and of a world view, and of a way of life. So when you look at each of the Kelim, they represent something. The Shulchan, for example, represents material success. It holds the lechem apanim. Lechem apanim is the bread, the sustenance. The mizbeach represents avodas Hashem. It's the focal point of our avodah. It's where all the avodah happens. So which kli represents Torah? Which kli represents Torah in the Mishkan? So when you ask that question, you get one of two answers. Sometimes people will say, no, what would you say? No, you said the Shulchan? No, you usually don't get that answer, I don't think. It represents Torah. What? The Aron is one of the answers you get, and the menorah is the other answer you get. Right? The menorah is the seven branches of wisdom. They all go to be mishamish the Torah. They all point toward the Torah, toward the middle one, the greatest wisdom. So the Aron and the menorah apparently both represent Torah. The menorah, ner mitzvah v'torah, or the Aron, which actually housed the Torah. But why do we need two distinct kelim to represent the Torah? Every other area of life has one kli that represents it. Well, why two to represent the Torah? And it's not just that there are two kelim that represent the Torah. It's much more than that. These two kelim could not be more different from each other in terms of how they were made. Pasuk says, va'asu aron, in the plural. And it doesn't say va'asisa in the singular. So the Medrash comments, that's a remez. The plural indicates that all of the Jewish people have to participate in the making of the Aron, because when we look at Torah, we have to recognize that we all have a chelek in Torah. As Chazal says, Shishim Riba Osios Patorah, there's 600,000 letters in the Torah. There aren't 600,000 letters in the Torah, but what they mean to say is that each Jew, represented by the number 600,000, because that's how many Jews there were, that were Kiyotah, that were Biyotah Mitzrayim, each Jew has a chelek in Torah. Every Jew has to have involvement, has to. No Jew can say, yeah, let someone else do the Torah. I'll do the supporting, you do the Torah. No, everybody has to have their own involvement in Torah. And that's highlighted by the way the Aron was made. Let everybody come and let them be osik in the Aron. That way they'll be zocha to Torah. On the other hand, Chazal tell us, who built the menorah? The Aron is everybody. Who built the menorah? Nobody. Nobody built the menorah. What? Why? What happened? Miksha te'asa menorah. The menorah has to be made from a solid piece of gold. How on earth do you take a solid piece of gold and fashion it and bend it and form it to form a menorah with all the kaftorim, uprachim, with everything that the menorah needs to have? Impossible. So, what happens? Throw it in the fire and it comes out. Miracle, there's the menorah. No human hand was involved in building the menorah. It's a gift from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So why would we have two kelim that represent Torah? One of them represents Torah and has to be made by the entire Klal Yisrael. And the other one represents Torah and has to be made by nobody in Klal Yisrael. What's the message of that? Success in Torah learning and success in most endeavors in life hinges on effort much more than it does on ability. This is something we've spoken about many times. Rabbi Kamenetsky sort of made it like a school motto for the staff in the high school, that Carol Dweck, the leading social scientist in Stanford, built her entire career in this yesod. Rabbi Kamenetsky read the book over the summer, that's why he's been very into it, on the idea that 98% of people have the ability to be great, not just good, great at any given endeavor, provided that they put their entire mind and effort into becoming great at it. Provided that they're really willing to invest and work hard at it. you know, if someone were to ask me, do you have any artistic skill? I would say, no, I have no artistic skill. I cannot draw anything. But I do believe that if I were to really become single-minded about becoming a great artist, about learning how to work with shading and how to draw the, and really studying it, and day and night, hours and hours, if I wanted to spend my time doing that, I could be in the top one percentile in the world in terms of my artistic abilities, even though naturally I have nothing. Because a person has the ability to cultivate not just, you know, the ability to get by in any given area. We have the ability to cultivate becoming great, becoming exceptionally good at a given task. And Torah success is the same. A person wants to make that his focus, and he wants to put in his effort, real, serious, concerted effort, he will be great at it. Will he be the greatest ever? No, Moshe Rabbeinu is still going to be the greatest ever. But he will be great at it. The Gemara Megillah Dav Zayin highlights the difference between Torah accomplishments and other endeavors, though. Meaning with every endeavor, this is true. Whatever you want to do, if you really become singularly focused, you can be great at it. But there's one difference. Effort is critical in success on any intellectual, physical endeavor. If you want to work on basketball for your whole life, 15 hours a day, learning the skills, having someone teach you, having someone coach you, you'll be a great basketball player. But when it comes to everything else other than Torah, the link between effort and success is extremely direct. When it comes to Torah, you need the effort in order to achieve the success. But the success is not a direct result of the effort. What do I mean by that? So Chazal tells the Gemara, says, Yagati v'lo matzasi al tamin. Lo yagati matzasi al tamin. A guy says, I tried hard and I didn't achieve anything. I didn't achieve any success. Don't believe such a person. I didn't try hard and I did achieve success in Torah. Don't believe such a person either, because there's definitely a correlation between Yagia and Metzia. But look how it describes it. Not that I tried hard and I accomplished. I tried hard and matzasi. I found it. A metzia. Metzia is something that comes out of nowhere. You're walking down the street. Oh, look at that. There's just $20 on the street. I didn't do anything to earn it. It's just there. It remains a metzia. You know, it's like, imagine two ways to build something. You learn how to construct a building, how to lay all the bricks and cement them properly in a way that's gonna stand and it's gonna work, and then you go through the process and you do it and you actually build something and you have a beautiful edifice. So there's a direct correlation. Your effort led to that building. That's how it is in all areas of life. When it comes to Torah, though, it's more like a person who works really, really hard to impress his rich uncle until the rich uncle gives him a nice house. You know, there is a lot of effort. There's a lot of work that goes into it. But the work and the metzia, meaning as you work, you don't see it like progressing. Okay, here's one layer, here's another layer, here's another. You work, and then there's a matana. And there it comes. We work very hard. But Torah accomplishment still comes as a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara Nida Davayin tells us that the Anshe Alexandria asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Ma yasa odom v'yachkam? What should a person do to become wise? So he first said, well, yarbe b'yeshiva v'yimayit v'schara. You know, there are no shortcuts. Learn a lot. You want to become wise? You want to become a Talmid Chacham? Learn a lot and don't do other things too much, because you need all your time to learn a lot. Okay, makes sense. The only place success comes before work is in the dictionary. Right? That's the line. But then he was pressed further on the point. And he said, Eli yivakshu rachamim mimisha achachma shalom shenemar ki Hashem yitin chachmi piv dasu tvuna. We need to daven for it, because ultimately it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that gives us the ability to understand. Ooh, so he told us to work, but then he said something else. We also have to daven. What have daven? If I work on building a building, I'll have a building. I don't have to daven for the building. No, but when you recognize that the way Torah accomplishment comes to Metziah, it's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants us. So the work is critical, because he's only going to grant it to us if we work. But we also have to daven for it, because we recognize that it's coming straight from him. The importance of davening for success in learning is highlighted by Rashi in Avodah Zarah Daf Ches. Gemara tells us, Shoal Adam Tzrachav B'Shomea Tefillah. Person should daven for things that he needs in the bracha of Shomea Tefillah. V'Yimba Lomar B'Sof Kol Bracha V'Bracha Me'in Kol Bracha Omer. And if you have something to ask that isn't explicit in your Shemona Esrei, but you want to ask for something relating to Parnassus, so in the bracha about Parnassus, you throw it in there. You want to ask something relating to Yerushalayim, so you say it in that bracha. You throw it into that bracha. And Rashi comments, Im hayu mishakeach talmudo. If you find that you're struggling in learning, that you're forgetting your learning, ma'arich b'chonein adas. When you say the bracha of chonein adas, daven that you should be successful in your learning. Very striking Rashi for two reasons. First of all, the obvious, that Rashi tells us success has to come directly from Hashem, and you've got to daven for it. But second, he tells us that we are supposed to, when Rashi needed to give an example of something that you really desperately need, they call out to the Ribbono Shel Olam for, Ribbono Shel Olam, I need this. Rashi had to give it, he could have given any example. If I were to ask you, for example, what do people pray for? Make a list, top 10 things you pray for. So, okay, the fact that you're going to have health, parnasa, Klal Yisrael, Kibbutz Galios, Yerushalayim, the fact that that will make it on your list before success in learning, not such a kasha. The fact that so many of our lists might include the Jets winning a Super Bowl in my lifetime, and things of that nature, before we would even have a Hava Amina to daven for success in learning. Rashi's telling us, you want an example? You want an example of what you got to daven for? Of what a person should be desperate for? Daven for success in learning. We have to work for it, and we have to daven for it. And we don't care enough for that. Because we were raised... That's not the fault of the people who raised us. We live in a culture where we are led to believe that if we're basically good people, then that's enough. Mediocrity is like the best. She'ifos for godless. To try to actually be, you know what I discuss shiduchim. I want a guy who's kaveh itim. I don't remember the last time a girl said, I want a guy who's a Talmud Chacham. I don't remember the last time a guy said, I want to be a Talmud Chacham. Whatever I do in life, whatever I might do for a living, I have a sefer right here that I got as a gift from a guy who, I believe he works in finance. And he wrote this beautiful two-volume sefer on Chumash. Lamdus, beautiful Lamdus. Why? Because he had she'ifos to be a Talmud Chacham. Sefer is called Ner Aaron. Beautiful. We have to have she'ifos. We should really want to be something. How bad? I do. What do you think I learned for? No. Yeah, we learn. But do we learn enough? Do we really work hard at it? Are we putting in? Are we sweating over it? Do we daven for it? Is it something that we want badly enough that we would daven for it? If it were, and I speak to myself, we'd all be much bigger Talmidei Chacham than we are. In the Sefer Chuda Meshulash, he tells the story of a man who grew up to become a dayan in Mattersdorf and was a rav in Schleining or something, and I've based in another town, whatever. He's quoted several times in the Sifrei Chasam Sofer. Came to yeshiva as an 18-year-old in Pressburg and couldn't even read a pasuk in Chumash, but he wanted to grow. So the Chasam Sofer appointed different bachrim to learn with the boy. And he suffered the indignities of breaking his teeth and learning day in, day out. And he became a Talmud Chacham. Big enough Talmud Chacham, the Chasam Sofer quotes him all the time. You'd look at such a person and you would say, there's no chance. I was just talking to one of the Rebbeim who's here doing interviews, who happens to be a DRS alumnus. And he was telling me that he has a Talmud who he remembers when he came to yeshiva. The Rebbeim in the yeshiva, it's not that they gave up hope on him, they just figured he's never going to be a learner. Yeah, he might be a nice guy, but he's never going to be a learner. But the kid plugged away, and ultimately he decided that, around Pesach time, that he wants to actually make an effort, and he started making an effort, he started learning what it means to make an effort, and sure enough, he's not just a Ben Torah, look at the guy, he's a Talmud Chacham, now he can learn. It's amazing, because this Talmud that was telling it to me, much of what he was saying was true about him. We often thought about him, okay, so he's not going to be a learner, but he's going to be a really great guy. And sure enough, he's a marbitz Torah. We can. One of my favorite stories, the story of George Danzig. He's a graduate student in math at Berkeley. Okay, so he knew 2 plus 2 is 4. He wasn't a fool. And one day, he's a little scatterbrained, and, you know, one of these guys that just comes late to things. He rushes into class a little bit late, and he quickly copies the homework problems from the board. Because he wasn't there at the beginning of class, he saw them on the board, he quickly copied them down. So he later went to the library to do the homework, and he found them extraordinarily difficult, and it was bothering him. So he spent days in the library trying to do the homework, just trying to crack the problem. And ultimately, he solved them. He came back to class. I did the homework. What homework? We didn't have homework. Those problems on the board. Wasn't that the homework? No, those were two famous math problems that had never been solved. No one had told him.
Of a gray Toyota.
I can't yell over
here. Registration EKJ1985. Please go to the parking lot now. Gray Toyota EKJ1985. Please head to the parking lot now. Thank you.
Nobody had told this George Danzig that he couldn't do these problems, that you're not supposed to be able to do it. Not knowing that he was supposed to have a ceiling and that he couldn't do it, he did it. If a person tells themselves that they're incapable of becoming a Talmud Chacham, that they're incapable of becoming great in learning, of course we're going to fall short. But if we don't accept that, we're going to work, and we're going to shvit, and we're going to put in our yegiyah, our effort, and we're going to daven for it, because we're going to care that much that we're going to daven for it, then ultimately we'll be successful. So why are there two kelim that represent the Torah? And why does one of them involve all of Klal Yisrael making it, and the other one just involves HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending us out of a fire, a menorah? Because the Aron represents our relationship to Torah. How do we act toward Torah? It's our amelus. It's our effort. We all need to participate. The menorah represents the light that comes back to us. How HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants us Torah. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant us Torah? Nothing to do with our effort. That's a great gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And none of us is capable of accomplishing it on our own. You know, the Gemara in Kiddushin, Davlamit tells us, Brasi Yetzirah, Brasi Torah Tavlin. Of course, Baruch said, I created the Yetzirah, I created the Torah as a Tavlin. But then the Gemara says that the Yetzirah is so strong, Il Malei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozra Lo Yachalo. If God didn't help you, you would never be able to defeat the Yetzirah. What do you mean? You just told me, Barlo Torah Tavlin. You gave me the Torah. So I have the tools to defeat the Yetzirah. How can you say that I need Hashem's help if you just said that the Torah is the Tavlin, that the Torah is the antidote? I have the antidote. What do you mean I need your help? No, but the pshat is that you need the help of the Ribbono Shel Olam in order to achieve in Torah. We need to dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam in order to achieve in Torah. So yeah, the Torah is the Tavlin, but how are we going to get Torah? So we get Torah with a lot of effort, but then with the matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we actually succeed in Torah. We should all be zochet to put in the proper effort and to receive that great matana from the Ribbono Shel Olam.